Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Happier Health is a mobile game based on cognitive behavioural therapy to help children cope with reoccurring migraines. Nicola Filtz-Moser and Cornelius Palm are behind the project that has gotten off the ground thanks to a Kickstarter project, and I spoke to them a little earlier.
It's totally different. It's definitely more. And I also spoke to children, not only me, so other children who are suffering from migraines, and they say it's 10 times worse than a normal headache, than a normal stomach pain, because it's not just the headache you get. You get also other symptoms coming with it. You get stomach pain, you get nausea, you get light sensitivity. So everyone is quite individual in how the migraine feels for them. But it's a horrible feeling, especially as a child, because it's not only the physical pain, but also the emotional pain when you hear all children outside playing and you're stuck inside.
And it must also be difficult, particularly at first, for the child to comprehend what's happening to them. That's potentially scary as well, I would have thought.
Definitely. So I think it takes a while to understand what it actually is, and nobody really can tell you where it comes from. So it's hard to grasp such a complex concept, because if you break your arm, you see, okay, there's something wrong with my bone. But with the migraine, you don't see that. And it takes a while to understand it. And it's even harder for people who don't go through it to understand it.
And I confess, I didn't really associate children with migraines before. Is this something that can happen at any age, or does it maybe build up as you get older?
So the prevalence is higher in adolescents and adults. That's why children are not looked at that much in terms of migraines. Although the prevalence is extremely high anyway, it's 1 in 10 children suffering from migraine. And I think the reason we don't really know about it is because children don't talk about it, because nobody seems to understand, and everybody says, okay, I don't see anything that's wrong, so there's nothing.
Okay, now to try and, I guess, get some understanding from the kids, you've developed an app. Cornelius, tell me a little bit about the app and what it does.
Yeah, so the Happier Health app that we are developing now with the funding that we got from the crowdfunding campaign, that is especially for the children to get remote therapy. So what is already in the NICE guidelines and what children and migraine patients are already doing is recording their symptoms in diaries. And that we want also to make available for children, so that it's fun to record your symptoms and that you want to interact with a kind of a buddy you can talk to, and where you can record your diary of headaches and migraine attacks.
So will these diaries then be available to anyone else who uses the app, or will they be sent away somewhere else?
So, of course, it's private with the children, and they may share it or share with their parents or share it not. And they can also decide to share it with their physician then.
Mm. And the purpose of this is that really that it eases the child's view towards the migraine and doesn't. But, of course, they're still going to be going through the migraine. This is the problem here.
Yeah, exactly. So to understand what is going on is helping. So that is usually the first thing that should happen, that children actually understand what is happening with them and that they get the education behind that. But also to then work proactively against this chronic illness and to prevent migraine attacks in the future by learning, for example, coping strategies from psychological approaches such as cognitive behavior therapy.
And you're both involved in this Masters in Entrepreneurship program. This is organized, I think, by the Judge Business School. Have they helped you along with the development of the app?
Exactly. So the Judge Business School especially, they focused on the a little bit more theoretical aspects that are associated with starting a business, especially in the UK, because we are both from outside, from Austria and Germany. And yeah, this helped a lot. And then we also got more practical help and support from the accelerator in the University of Cambridge, also in the Entrepreneurship Center of the Judge Business School.
So what does the accelerator do?
Accelerate the business. So they push us to hit certain milestones that we set ourselves together with coaches. We get a lot of, again, theoretical input, but that we apply, for example, due to in the course of a weekend only, or in a week only, and where we, yeah, apply practical things.
And Nicola, you've had the crowdfunding campaign. I think I was pretty successful.
It was. We were not expecting that, honestly. So we're extremely grateful for every support we got.
How much did you raise through it?
We raised £10,000, which was our target in only 2 weeks. So that was amazing. And it's really good to see that people support you on your way. That's also extremely giving us a lot of power and a lot of strength to go through this ups and downs of starting your own business.
No, very much so. So what happens next with the app? Is it going to, is it available already, or is that going to be released in the future?
It's not available yet. So we're still in the development, and we're using the funds from the crowdfunding to further work on the technical development. There are also some challenges ahead as we aim to be a medical device. So we at some point have to go through clinical studies, but as soon as we have something tangible to show people and to give to young migrant patients, we will make it available for them.
So you do have to get a few approvals then, do you, in order to release the app into the wild, as it were?
Exactly. And it's also essential for us to get the feedback from these studies to see, is it actually working? What does work? What doesn't work? And we want to build a product for the children and with children also in the process. So we're looking for a lot of feedback.
Okay. Well, thank you both very much for speaking to us this morning. Cornelius, Nicola, thank you.
Thank you, Julian, for having us.
So that's Nicola Filtz-Moser and Cornelius Palm. They are behind Happier Health, that mobile game or app, if you prefer, to help children cope with recurring migraines. Very, very interesting project.
Cambridge Breakfast.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Popular Cambridge entertainer Jeremy Bond, known to many as Jezzo, gave his father, Philip Bond, a closer-than-usual shave when his knife-throwing magic act became even more spectacular than usual. He was appearing on an audition show for Britain's Got Talent at the Lowry in Manchester when the final knife ended up inches from his father's face. Jezzo is on the line now. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello, everybody.
I think we need to jump to the end of the story first. How's Dad?
Right. Dad's okay. Dad's doing really well, actually.
That's good. Yeah. I'm glad to hear it. I guess many people have seen, we posted it on the Cambridge Breakfast Facebook page, and I dare say a few people might have seen it, at least given via the numbers I noticed at the bottom corner on the YouTube page. But your dad's involvement in this, the gag basically is that the regular assistant hasn't turned up and he gets to go on a turning wheel.
That's exactly that, yeah. So we put him on a spinning target. I then threw knives at him. To add a bit more danger, I did it on a hoverboard. And to get a bit more speed, we loaded it with fireworks and pyrotechnics so it would spin even faster.
So how's your aim? You know, how was there practice involved?
There was practice. And we felt that it was probably safer to keep it within the family in the end. So Dad stepped in.
Because your dad does a bit of entertainment work himself, I think, doesn't he?
That's right, yeah. So magic's been a big part of our family for many years. Dad not only designs magic for theatre, TV and big productions, but also toured the world performing it for many years. And one of four I've taken it on. So, yeah.
So the wheel we see him spinning round on, did he actually construct that himself?
Yeah, so that was a target he built for another production.
Right.
And I just said, could I borrow it? And then I borrowed him.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So I'm intrigued as to how this works from the Britain's Got Talent perspective. We get from time to time, you know, we'll get an email from the producers and they'll say, oh, we're doing auditions. They're going to be in Cambridge. Can you give a shout out to get as many people to come along to the auditions as possible? And this was in Manchester. So had you gone through one of those little sort of heats in Cambridge or somewhere close first of all?
Yeah, we exactly that. So we got involved with them when they came to Cambridge, and they came to see us. And because the big buzz was because Mum said, Dad's wife, because Mum's got an OBE and has met the Queen, we wanted a chance of meeting the royal family as well. So we thought we'd double up and give it a crack.
I'm sorry, I can't see the logic here, because I don't believe Ant and Dec are part of the royal family, at least not yet, but who knows? In time, they could be elevated.
But being the grand prize of performing at the Royal Variety Club.
Oh, I see. So this was the scheme, was it?
Our way of meeting the Queen too.
Right. That's entirely reasonable.
That was our drive. And we came up with a few different acts, and the one that's on the YouTube that you see is where we took it to Manchester.
Now this is one of these clips. They presumably must film absolutely everybody, and then do they then whittle it down to those people who they want to put on the show? I'd say, yes. Arguably, by not being on the show, you've done quite well because of the number of people who have now seen the video.
Yeah, I mean the thousands of hopefuls audition across the country, like when they come to Cambridge, and then that gets whittled down to, I believe, 160 that actually go in front of the judges. So we got down to 160. We did that, and then you get voted to go through to the next round, which is the semi-finals.
Right, okay.
And to do that, you need at least three yeses from the judges. So,
did you get yeses, or were they too scared?
We did get a minimum of three yeses. Yes, so we did get through.
Ah,
yeah. So a bit of excitement in the Bond family.
Yes, I'm sure. So what happens next? Is there a possibility we might see you on our TV screens anytime soon?
Or once you get whittled down to the yeses, I think that the 160 get down to something like 100 or 80 acts.
Right.
And then those 80 acts have to get down to the final 35. On this occasion, we didn't get the final 35, so we won't be in the live finals.
Shame.
But we've got a fantastic experience, and it was a good day out with Dad and the crew.
I like the approach of this. A good day out. So once things get back to normal, he said optimistically, will you be bringing that to? I don't know. Would you want to perform that on? I was about to say inside the Corn Exchange. You might be better off on Parker's Piece because it's open air.
Yeah, I mean, we were hoping to perform it at Strawberry Fair with the theme being magic this year, but obviously that's not happening either.
We'll do it with you virtually, yeah. Perhaps, on Cambridge 105 with our virtual Strawberry Fair.
I mean, I'm still quite keen to put you on the wheel next time, Julian.
Right.
I mean, it'd look fantastic and fireworks, wouldn't it? We could get you elevated.
I don't mind the wheel. I don't mind so much the fireworks. I think it's the thought of the knife coming at me is where I might have some difficulty with it all.
Well, I could do it blindfolded.
I think I might need to be blindfolded, actually, by the sound of the things. That's not going to happen. So,
okay.
Because I should mention, you also do a number of building of stages and things for Strawberry Fair and other places around the city. I guess, like everybody else, you're kind of on hold and waiting for the next announcements and from government.
Yeah, because I also run a production company, Jezzo's Events. We're based in Sawston. In fact, that's when we usually meet, is when we're building your stages and platforms for your live performance.
It is indeed, yes.
But no, that, like the magic, it's all just kind of on pause. So we're all fired up and ready, but there's nothing's happening at the moment. But, you know, there's the whole country is on pause. So it's a little bit refreshing, but also terrifying.
Yeah, so I feel actually it's turning from pause into a bit of an elastic band, which is being pulled back, waiting for Boris to let go of it one ministerial broadcast.
Yeah, but during this time I'm just sharpening up my knives, ready.
That's a good idea. And would you go back? Would you do another Britain's Got Talent audition to try and get through to the end next time around?
The honest answer to that is I would, but just because it's the most amazing production to be part of, I've never worked on anything on that scale, and it's just out of this world, from the amount of crew, just to the amount of production level. Just to say to be part of that show is amazing, and it's a challenge now. You know, we've kind of, you know, we came up with that particular act. There's no reason why we couldn't come up with something else and give it another go. It's a bit like a driving test. That took me 5 to pass. So I'll just have to keep doing the same if Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah, and 5 driving tests. That's a whole other interview, isn't it, really, on something like that? Jez, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning. Do urge anybody, look to the Cambridge Breakfast Facebook page, and you can see that fantastic performance. And, let's hope you're back again along with Dad very soon. Thanks very much, Jezzo.
No, thank you. And all the best to everybody, and stay safe.
Thank you very much indeed.
Cambridge Breakfast.
Cambridge 105 Radio.